Praise the Lord. Going to the Word is always a good thing. And we have to get ourselves ready for that. With the right attitude, the right frame of mind, to open our heart and to receive and to hear from Him speaking to us. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, as we come together, Lord. You are in our midst, Lord, and You show Yourself alive, Lord, by working in our life, by ministering to us, by healing us, by setting us free, by quickening our minds and our hearts so that we can connect with You, Lord. Let us today, Lord, be able to receive from You, Lord, and from Your Word, Lord, that we may, Lord, be able to know the difference that You make in our life when we come to You and we are touched by Your Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for everything You have done for us and what You are going to do today in this place. Amen. Amen. All right. So we have been looking at Jesus' prayer for us. Okay, and I want to just summarize a few things, you know. This was the last prayer, let's remember that, was the last prayer that Jesus prayed with the disciples so that they may know that He was praying for them, the things that He was pointing out to them, so that they may focus on those things and keep them in their mind. See, when one is living, and the following day essentially was living, you know, you try to get to the point that are important. And here, Jesus essentially summarized and touched all the areas that we had to really work on to be able to appropriate and receive those things. See, because, you know, the reason why Jesus came, okay, was to transform us. Okay, John 17:3 says, you know, what He wanted to give us was to give us eternal life. You know, John 10:10 says, you know, that He came, you know, the enemy comes but to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life. And more abundantly, okay? And the life it's talking about here is not just, you know, that we are alive, because you are alive already, you know, is that He wants us to have the life of God, Zoe, okay? The power of God working in us, operating in us, and changing us, transforming us into Him, okay? And there are some points that He made that I want to just summarize before I continue, because, you know, there is a crescendo, you know, become more and more deep into where He wants us to receive. So He started just John 17:3, you know, and this is eternal life. You see, the eternal life that He wants us, they came to give us, okay? That they may know You, the Father, and may, you know, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. So you see, this is really the objective for Him, for them to have eternal life. And when you have eternal life, you're going to know the Father and Jesus. And Jesus is really the way we get there. But you need to understand, and you have faith for the things that are provided for us. You know, just if we don't understand, we cannot receive what we don't know. This is very important to know, okay? We need to understand what we're going to get, because otherwise we get something we don't even know what it is. So first we have to understand. So when we understand, for example, healing, that God wants to provide healing, you know, then we have to have the faith to receive it. So there are two components there, the understanding and the faith. And understanding, in Proverbs says, is everything. Without understanding, we can get nowhere. And we have to be careful. Because, you know, people look for signs in the end times, and we see many of them. But, you know, there is one sign that is the first one that Jesus mentioned. And it's the critical sign that is more important than all the other ones. And he says, be careful that you be not deceived. See, deception is the actual signs of the end times. The major sign. And that means, you know, that actually this is going to be something that is going to spread more and more. And we see it in operation already. Anyway, so, you know, we need to know, we need to understand. If you don't understand, you know, otherwise you cannot have faith. Faith is not blind. Faith has to be able to see what you're going to go for, what you're going to get, what God wants to give you. Okay? And so you have to understand it. We cannot receive otherwise because you cannot believe it. Something you don't know, you cannot believe. And to receive anything and to have faith, you need to believe. Okay? So this is the first thing, the transformation that God wants us to have, that Jesus came to give us by giving us eternal life, which is the life of God in us, energizing us, transforming us, empowering us, healing us, doing all the changes that need to be taking place. And we are going to see, actually, more specifically what they are. Okay? And we have to understand that the second point that he made there, okay, is our spiritual source. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, you are born of a spiritual, incorruptible seed. Okay? We are not born by the seed of man. We are born by the seed of God, which is the incorruptible spiritual seed that is planted inside us when we are born again. There is a new birth taking place there. And it's a supernatural birth, the coming from God directly, because it happens through God's word. That is God's seed for us. This is what has to be planted in our heart, and then we have to allow it to grow, to take root, and to start germinating and producing fruit. Okay? But that's what we are coming. So the understanding, okay, is that we are going to be born from this incorruptible seed. And if you are from an incorruptible seed, that means you become incorruptible. I mean, you become eternal. I mean, you have eternal life by connecting and relating with God and with Jesus. Okay. John chapter 1, verse 12. See, all this, the Bible, something, you know, one of you said last Thursday, okay, you don't teach in a linear way. You know, you just teach in a, you know, a multi, you know, dimensional way. And the reason is this. The Bible is not written linearly. It's everything but one, two, three, and there goes the solution. Because why? Because each scripture has a reflection of truth, but it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is in the whole Bible. And all those scriptures are connected with one with another like a network, each one reinforcing one another. So you cannot go linearly. You had to use scripture to justify scriptures so that you can represent enough to show the truth in a complete enough way that enables you not to get off a tangent, not to get into error, not to get into deception. Because you can take a scripture, make it the whole truth, and you get into error. Amen. See, all the time when you take a scripture, you had to look at it and look at the whole other Bible and see, you know, is what I understand aligning with everything else? And if it's not, your understanding is wrong. And you had to throw it away and ask God to show you the truth. And he does it through the other scripture. Now, that aside, that's extra. Free bonus for today. Are you following me? That's important to understand. So, you know, after having shown that we come from incorruptible seed, you know, you can go to John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, you know, for as many as received him, to them he gave him the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, there are three points here. First, to receive, the word there is lambano, which actually means to take. So we had to take him. We had to appropriate what he stands for, appropriating what it is, and what happens to us in that case, that we become children of God. We are born of God. We are becoming not anymore normal humans. We become what? We become children of the Father. We become children of God. We become spiritual being that we weren't before. Because before we were carnal beings. Okay. And says, you know, to those who believe in his name, you know, it's not just a question of, you know, believe in Jesus' name. You know, he's believing the name is what the person is. So he's, you know, the one that believes who he is, what he has done, and who is in a way he functions. So you believe God, you believe Jesus, you believe, you know, everything that they stand for. The name of a person in the Old Testament represented the personality of that person, or what the person will do. That's why God had, you know, all those names, because it represented all the way he operated and functioned. Okay. So then Jesus continued in verse, just, you know, going back to John chapter 17, the prayer that he makes, you know, I give them, when, you know, talking about this, the word, okay, I give them, okay, that's how you do it. He did that. You know, I give them your word. And the world has not has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So you see here, reinforces that idea that we are not of the world. We are not just normal humans. We become spiritual being because we are heavenly being. Because we are born from an incorruptible seed. That incorruptible seed make us, transform us into new being. But we had to, you know, if we don't know that, we are going to keep doing the things that we were doing before without realizing who we are. So we had to start realizing the implication of what that then took place so that we can align ourselves up with that, because we have the choice. We need to recognize, we need to have the understanding of what took place. We need to have the understanding that our spirit now is alive with the life of God. That's what the Bible says. And when we realize that, it changes the way we see ourselves. It changes the way we see the world around us. It changes many other things, as we're going to see in a moment. Okay, but the more things, we have become spiritual beings. You know, it says, you know, our citizenship is not of this world, our is heavenly citizenship. We are citizens of heaven already, although we are not there yet. But we already been got the passport for that. we already connected with that. Okay, that has some implication. Okay, our goals, our perspective is not anymore earthly. Why? Because we are spiritual beings. Okay, we have a spiritual or a heavenly purpose when we are down here. That's why we are here. That's why we are in this world. Okay, our goal should be aligning up. And, we are here for a mission. And the mission is be making disciples. That's the Great Commission. Make disciples of all the nations. Okay, but that's the mission. That's the goal. Our goal shouldn't be anymore worldly things. Now, we can do worldly things because we are still here, we are operating. But, the final purpose of here is different and is heavenly. And we start having to function that way with that direction. So the way we see ourselves, okay, that you are not anymore of this world, just as he, Jesus, is not of this world. That's what he said. So we had to start, understanding that we need to take a position, as I often say, for where we stand, our identity. Our identity is who we think we are and what our purpose is. And we have to take that position that lines up with the new birth as children of the Father. So that's the second point that I wanted to make. And Jesus made, I want to remind you. Okay. The third point, okay, is our relationship, okay, with God. And this is represented also in John chapter 4, verse 24, when it says, God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay. That means, that's the way we have to connect with God. It's not just worshiping him. It's just any connection that we are with God is worshiping him. So our connection, our relationship, people talked about the relationship with God. Relationship with God is not going to ask him stuff. Relationship is God in coming in communion with him, becoming one with him. Having a relationship like he compares us, we are the bride, he is the bridegroom. So when two people come together and they're married, they become one. And their purpose and their function, their operation, their goal should be together. They are becoming one in the flesh. Where we are one in the spirit with the Father. What? Yes, that's what the word says. Okay. In spirit and in truth. It's not the physical part was Old Testament stuff. Didn't get them anywhere. Because you cannot. What is born of the spirit is spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. You cannot do spiritual things in the flesh. To do spiritual things, you have to operate in the spirit. Okay. So we had to learn to do that. Okay. And for that reason, Jesus made it possible for us to do that by being born from on high. So that now, the life of God, the eternal life is inside us to make us live at that level. Okay? In John chapter 14, verse 17, which come after the one I was talking reading before, says, the spirit of truth, okay, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. And that's the idea that we have to understand, that the spirit of God is inside you. It's not somewhere else. Is dwelling in you. That means he's there all the time. It's not that they come for a visitation. We don't want visitations. Because visitation means that something comes and then it goes. We want something indwelling, staying there, abiding in us, working inside us, motivating us, communicating to us, helping us to operate in the Spirit, because that's the only way we are going to do it. So we had to learn to listen to what's going on inside ourselves to be able to do that, to walk in the Spirit. Okay? So, you know, that's what we had to learn to do. You know, let me go back here a moment. You know, they do not receive, cannot receive him. Okay? Cannot receive, cannot take him, cannot, as we said before, you know, we had to take, believe in him, receive him to be able to be children of God. They cannot do it by themselves. Okay? They had to receive the word. Okay? Because they never see him, there they know, don't know him. The word knowing there is ginosko, which actually is not just knowing in your head. That knowing is experiential knowing. I mean, the way, you know, a couple know each other. There is actual interaction. There is really, you know, a coming in one. So he's working in you, you're working in him. He ministers to you, you minister to him. You talk to him, you talk to you. Jesus said, you know, my sheep know my voice. It's not that you are paranoid. You are connected. You should be connected. And if you are not connected, you have a problem in your experience. You haven't come to the place in which you have come in contact with the eternal life that if you got it, you know, should be there manifesting. It's not theory. It's not theology. This is experience. Eternal life, it's reality. It's not a doctrine that we go by because somebody said that. We should experience eternal life, motivating us, empowering us, enabling us to do things that people cannot do because God works through us. Because he's there and that's what he chose to do. But we had to know that, allow him to do that, let him guide us. So unless we have this relationship, this communion, this unity, we are not going to be able to do it. You know, dwelling in us. Hallelujah. Now, another verse for you is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I mean, that tells the whole story. We had to go to the place when our spirit and his spirit are joined together. And we are lined up in the way we function, we operate, we think, our goals, our desire, our everything. And he guides us that way. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. You know, he comes to us to guide us into all truth. Praise the Lord. So that's the third point. Relationship with God is not just a theory or something that we do when we pray and just talk to the wall. It's talking inside ourselves and it's a communication bilateral on both sides. We talk, we receive, we get direction, we guide us. He guides us into all truth. Amen. Now, another thing that Jesus said, verse 15, John 17, was, I do not pray for you that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So, two things, actually, yes, we're talking about here. Okay. First of all, don't take them away from here. Leave them here. Okay. It's not just you born again. It's, I don't know, what am I doing around? Son of the Father, you know, child of God, let's go up there. No, you're a son of God down here, and you have a purpose. And the purpose is to do the work that Jesus cannot do now. The same way, You are the body of Christ. You are functioning as his body today, and so you have to carry out that function. Okay? So, and the function is get other into this, the family. God wants a bigger family. He is a loving God, wants to save everybody. And we have to get as many as possible in. Okay? But that means, you know, you get into the place in which they have understanding to receive what God has wanted to do, not just get them religious. We don't want to create religious people. We want to create spiritual people. People that know the Spirit of God and operating by the Spirit of God and grow in the Lord and become more and more like Jesus. Okay? So, so that's the first things. Okay? We have that function, you know, as I already said it before. But the other thing, you know, keep them from the evil one. So here he's praying for us to be kept from the enemy, you know, from the evil one, to be protected. He's praying for protection for us. Now, if he pray for protection for us, that means that we are protected, because if Jesus prayed about something, it's going to work. You cannot think otherwise, because otherwise you don't believe in him. You see the implication of what I'm saying? I mean, should we be afraid of the devil? Should we be fearful of anything? Jesus prayed for you, for being protected. And he's not, you know, that prayer is not just something that Jesus got to his mind. You know, he just took it from the scriptures. Everything that he said was connected to scripture before, and I'm not going to bring them up again, but they are all connected to scripture before. You know, Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Can we say that, or we can go, "I must be careful, you know, the devil is after me"? Well, the reason why the devil is after you is because you're running afraid. It doesn't say run afraid of the devil. It says stand, resist him, and he will flee. You see, that's a different, completely different. You see, but that's the position you had to take. See, if you don't take your position, this is not going to be manifested, because you are not acting in faith and you don't have the understanding. So he uses your ignorance to push you around and succeed, because you cannot use your faith. I mean, you know, you have power over them. You are protected from the evil one. I could read scripture, for example, Psalm 91, you know, it said exactly the same thing. Jesus took it exactly from there. Okay, I'm not going to go into that, because I already talked about it. So this was the fourth time. We are protected. We should have no fear. If you have fear, what you have, you opening up yourself for the devil to push you around. Instead, you have to take a position and says, "No, I'm standing here. You buzz off." Okay? That's believing. Okay. Fifth things. Okay, so it's you should not fear. Jesus said it in many places. For example, in John chapter 14, verse 27, says very clear, "Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you." Okay. "Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I mean, that's pretty clear, So the idea, this is reinforcing the fact that we are protected. Can you say, "I am protected"?
I am protected.
Can you say a bit more better?
Okay.
More better. All right. See, that's the thing. Unless we take a position, the enemy pushes us around. So we have to stand firm. So if you have any problem with any of these five different positions that we have to take, these are five positions we have to stand in faith, believe, and we are going to experience victory. If you have any problem with any of those, just let me know. I'll talk with you. I'm going to give you the scripture and the stuff. Now let's continue. Jesus prayed for one more thing. And this is really, the icing on the cake. Okay. Says, again, repeat the same thing that he said before. John 17:16 says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Okay. So that's one of the first things that that's one of the positions we had to take. If you don't know that you are not of this world, you're going to start thinking about everybody else. So you have to take a clear position about that. Okay? You have to start saying to yourself, I am not of the world. Okay? But you have to say, believing it, because Jesus said it, not because I told you to say it. Okay? We have to take the scripture and put it to work in our life. That means we have to agree with them and we have to start taking that inner position. It's not the external thing. It's not, it's a spiritual thing that we have to do. Our position is a place, is an attitude that we take according to a decision that we make. The word said that, I believe it, I stand on that, and this is going to be for me. Okay? And we take that position. Okay? So, see, Jesus repeated this already 2-3 times. Okay? The closer you are to God, and the more, okay, you are going to be confronted by the world because you stick like a sore thumb out. This is what happened to Jesus, okay, when he did the same thing. So he says here, in verse 17, the following verse, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. Now, the sanctify means, make holy. I mean, separate them from the world. Make them different. And what's going to make you different is the word of God when you start implementing it in your life. Okay, because you start thinking differently, you start seeing yourself differently, and when you stand, you take a position. You see, your position is your identity. Today, about identity, everybody's confused. They don't even know where they're coming or going. But we know our identity. Our identity is to become like Jesus. Amen? All right. So, the word, your word is truth, so we sanctify by this word, okay? The word is the seed that is planted, we have to cultivate it within us, and it's going to produce a transformation. The transformation is nothing else than the renewal of us inside, the renewal of the mind. And that to produce is going to be sanctified us. It's going to be separating us. It's going to be making whole. Making separated for the world, having not the same thought, values, desires, goals, and behavior of people in the world. See, this is the position you had to establish. The Bible doesn't call it position, but I've been calling it position for about 20 years, probably more. Okay. This is, Jesus said, or Paul says, the mindset, which is the same thing. Okay. The mindset. Set your mind on things above, not on things below. That is your position. That is your identity. Okay. So, that is something that we had to set ourselves up for, establish ourselves within you. Okay. Jesus himself, when he started his ministry, did exactly that. It's what I'm telling you that we had to do. You had to do. Okay. See, after he was tempted and he overcome the temptation, okay, he established or, you know, proclaimed his mission. Okay. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is taken directly, you know, from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. He just opened up the book in the synagogue, you know, that taken from the rabbi, and he started reading. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That means now it is. And this is was taking the position. You see, he was taking the position. Everybody was looking at him and said, who do you think he is? He is the son of the carpenter. See, that's what they are going to do to you when you take your position. But you know, if you don't take your position, you are not going to be able to function in your role. That's why Jesus said, you know, confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Otherwise, if you don't confess me, I won't confess you. See, why? Because it's a position you take. And Jesus did it. And if you see the result, okay, let's read it. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say this to them. Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. See, what I'm saying is a position. Are you grasping what I've been talking about for more than 20 years? Okay. The idea is we have to understand that we have to take a position, okay? And what happened? Well, certainly it was really well accepted. They almost threw it over a cliff. See, but it's not the way people respond that is the value. Yes, the people that are not going to be with God, they're going to not like you. They're going to say, you are crazy, you are a fanatic, you have everything. The point is, so that's what exactly they did with Jesus. Who do you think you are? Okay. But that's when the ministry started. Why? Because he took his position. Do you understand the importance of that? If Jesus did it, what do you think we had to do? Amen. Now, you see, give Jesus, okay, give us the example. And he says, you know, John 17, verse 19, going back there to the prayer, for, you know, their sake, I sanctify myself, that they may also may be sanctified by the truth. See, he's giving us the example. He give you an example the way he went to the cross, you know, just to give us an example of, you know, the things that we are going to be operating. Okay. We had to, but how was his example? He was the Word made flesh. He abided in the Word. John 8, 31 and 32. If the Word is in you and you are in the world, you abide in the world, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, that's the process that he showed us. That's the way he sanctified himself. He followed the Word everywhere, anything, and, you know, and continually guided by the Word. Are you with me yet? See, that's the example that we too should receive and start implementing in our life. Okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Renewal of the mind. You know, renewal of the mind is not making Bible studies. Let's read it. Renewal of the mind is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, God is merciful, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the word, two words I want to focus on is present and living sacrifice. See, present, the word there is paristemo in Greek, which means to provide, to offer to God, to make available what? My body, your body. I mean, your body, you offer it as a sacrifice. The sacrifice, that the word there for sacrifice is thusia, which actually means offering or a victim. The animal that they killed. See, I'm yours. My body is yours, and I'm giving it to you. It's available for what you ever want to do. It's not telling God what you want. It's listening to God what he wants, and you are going to respond. Okay. Now, okay, this is the way it works. And says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformed, you know, the Greek means, you know, that really, that you don't take the shape of the world. Okay. But be transformed, you know, and actually it's metamorpho, it actually means transfigure, or actually, you know, the implication is there is a continuous change taking place. See, that is effortless and continuous, and it's not you doing it, it's just the word inside you working and manifesting itself. It's supernatural. It's not your behavior modification. You let the psychologists do that, and they're going to get nowhere, but the renewal of the mind is going to perform miracles that you can never believe it. Because are beyond your logic. Okay. So what happened is that, you know, you, the word transforming you in something that is determined by setting your mind. Okay. At all level, thought, will, desire, judgment. And that was going to result in physical manifestation, which is going to be emotions and feelings and other and behavior. Okay. So the spiritual manifestation that takes place as we go through this process of renewal of the mind is the manifestation of the new man, which is the same as Jesus. And more, the transformation, the gradual, incremental transformation take place as you renew your mind. You know, when you do renewal of your house, you know, make a renovation in your house, same word used there, you know, what you do, you should throw away the junk and put new things in. That's what you had to do when you do renewal of the mind. You throw away your junky thoughts and put new God thoughts, which is in the word. All right, so this is what Jesus prayed for us, to sanctify yourself, to be transformed into the new man by the renewal of the mind. Not by our own effort, but by the power of the word dwelling in us. Not by trying to be religious, but being different. Peculiar people, children of God, praise the Lord. And then in verse 20, Jesus said, I do not pray for this alone, the one who were there, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. That seems to me to apply to us, don't you think? So it is, you know, so the prayer of Jesus, he prayed for us. He prayed for you directly. That's what he is doing here. And he's telling all the different things that we need to understand so that we can grow into this new man. Okay? The manifest Jesus in the world today. We are not of the world, just as Jesus was not of the world. I think it's time for me to close for today. Do you get anything today? Okay. This is good stuff. This is really exciting things that God has prepared for us from the beginning. And it's, we should rejoice to be part of it because he's going to be coming back soon. And you should believe that. If you want, you know, he comes for the one that expect him. And that means that the one that don't expect him, they're not going to go anywhere. So it's important that we have the right belief. I mean, just read the parable of the 10 virgins and tell you the same thing. Praise the Lord. So, my suggestion, you go through these scriptures, you know, that you, I hope that you wrote them down. Otherwise, you can get them from the recording. And it's going to be on the website by tomorrow, for sure. And start thinking about them. Start appropriating them. Start believing that. Start allowing the word to change your identity, your thinking, the way you feel about things, and the way you're going to see is going to be changing you in the way you act and do, and the result you get. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for Jesus praying for us so that we may know what you have prepared for us, what you want us to experience, us to receive, to be able to become more and more like he was, to be able to minister life, eternal life, to those we come in contact with. Not religion, life, power, victory, and the ability to change people. We just thank you for the power that you have and you share with us. We just give you all the honor and the glory because you suffered and died for us so that we may be able to receive the life that you have, the life of the Father, the eternal life that we can have today in our temple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen.